In the Warren County Radio Bible School, we are studying a Bible lesson about Moses. And I'm going to ask you a Bible question. Jochebed was Moses' mother, but she did not name him Moses. I want to ask you, how did Moses get his name? And what does his name mean? So do you know who named Jochebed's little baby boy? Do you know who named him Moses? I'm going to read you the answer to that question in just a moment. It is found in Exodus chapter 2. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomon, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. So who gave Moses his name? And what does the name mean? Why was he called Moses? Well, the answer is found in Exodus chapter 2. I'll begin in verse 5. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And she saw the ark among the flags and sent her handmaid to fetch it. And she opened it and saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maiden went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew. Exodus 2 and verse 10. The child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Well, that was Pharaoh's daughter. She gave Moses his name. And the name Moses means drawn out. And so she named him Moses because, as she said, she drew him out of the water. Let me read to you from Elam's notes on Sunday school lesson. He wrote about this for the Sunday schools of July the 11th, 1926. His mother was more than doubly paid. Little did she care for the wages. Her child's life was safe. And she was permitted in God's care to nurse and to train him in the most impressionable years. God says to all mothers, "Take this child and nurse it for me." Thus may all mothers be rewarded. We read that the child grew under his mother's care and training. We can suppose that she lost no time in instilling into his young heart the principles of that faith in God which had so blessed the family. He was trained in the religion of the true God. His mother would have repeated to him over and over the rich promises God made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, the story of their oppression, and the cherished hope of their deliverance. This good seed, planted early in his heart, grew with his growth and ripened into fruit with his years. As an oak is in the acorn, great possibilities are wrapped up in one little child. From a hut, a slave's family, an ark of bulrushes, came forth one of the greatest benefactors of mankind. Here we are reminded of the child and of training. We read about Timothy in this regard. The Apostle Paul wrote two letters to Timothy, and in the second letter to Timothy, he begins this letter in the first five verses of what we call chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God, according to the promise of the life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers in a pure conscience, knowing how unceasing is my remembrance of thee in my supplications night and day, longing to see thee, remembering thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, having been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. And in what we call the third chapter of this letter, beginning in verse 14 and going through verse 17, Paul writes, But abide thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Every scripture is inspired of God, and is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. There is no home so poor, but that its children should be and can be trained for God and usefulness. We do not know just how old Moses was when his mother returned him to Pharaoh's daughter, but we read that he became her son, that is, she adopted Moses as her own child. She doubtless adopted him, for later he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, Hebrews 11 and verse 24. She it was who named him Moses, because, said she, I drew him out of the water. Moses means drawn out. And we read something in the New Testament about Moses in Acts chapter 7 and verse 22, where it says, Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and in deeds. He was a man of wisdom, and the Egyptians sought his counsel. Philo, one of the great Jewish historians, says Moses was taught arithmetic, geometry, poetry, music, medicine, and the knowledge of hieroglyphics. And the Library of Universal History says Egypt, renowned for its discoveries in arts and sciences, was the ancient world's university, where Moses and Pythagoras and Plato and Herodotus and Diodorus, lawyers, philosophers, and historians, were students. The ancient Egyptians had made considerable progress in science, particularly astronomy, geometry, medicine, wealth, luxury, ease, learning, culture, refinement. In all these, Moses could prevail, but he did not spend his time as a royal student in idleness and cultured ease, for he was mighty in his words and in his works. His deeds are not recorded in the Bible. Josephus says he led Egypt's army against invaders and drove them out of the country. In the school of God's providence, he was thus instructed and trained for 40 years. Then the seed which his mother had planted in his heart began to bear fruit. Exodus 2 and verse 11 says when Moses was grown up. And Acts 7 and verse 23 says when he was well nigh 40 years old. It came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. His life up to this time had been spent as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, spent in school, in the king's court, and performing deeds of interest and wisdom. His faith led him to visit his brethren. He went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. He saw their condition and knew God's promises concerning them. He knew he could not help them and deliver them, unless he should give up his position as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and ally himself with them. In mature years, when he was able to weigh results in the balance and look consequences in the face, he deliberately made this brave decision. He did this by faith. We read that in the book of Hebrews. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt, for he looked unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Hebrews 11, 24 through 27. He did six things by faith. 1. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. 2. He chose rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. 3. He accounted the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. 4. He looked unto the recompense of reward. 5. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. 6. He endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Later he ate the Passover and crossed the Red Sea by faith. He cherished the word and promises of God until they produced this faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Hebrews 11 verse 1 tells us, now faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. When we contrast what Egypt was then with the cruel condition of God's people, we see more clearly the magnanimity of his famous choice and feel more forcibly the power of his illustrious example. As we have seen, Egypt, with its arts, sciences, culture, architecture, civil government, was the mightiest and most magnificent country on the face of the earth. There were its fertile fields, rich treasures, avenues of obelisk, grand temples, proud palaces, and towering pyramids. Its ease, comfort, and sensual pleasures, pomp, splendor, glory, and rich treasures were at the command of Moses. Yet, with this, were immorality, idolatry, and a loss of the promises of God. What he gained by faith, he would have lost had he clung to Egypt. On the other hand, God's people were in cruel, hard, rigorous, and bitter bondage. Moses knew that he was not an Egyptian, and that his people were a set of serfs. He knew he was exchanging the palace for the hut, the riches for poverty, the worldly honor and glory for contempt and hatred, the society of the earth's most refined and cultured for that of the slaves. But he had heard of the promises of God and looked to him who was invisible. He made this decision in the face of two of the mightiest influences Satan can bear on the human heart, namely, the pleasures of sin and the rich treasure of Egypt, the love of sensual, earthly pleasure, and the love of money have wrecked many lives and sent many souls to perdition. With that, this Sunday school lesson comes to a close, and we come to the next lesson on the next page, written for the Sunday schools of July the 18th, 1926, and it is about the call of Moses. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Exodus chapter 3 and verse 12, where it says, certainly I will be with thee. You need to return for our next class. We're going to begin our reading in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 11, and we'll continue to Exodus chapter 4 and verse 18, and then we'll study about this call of Moses. That's the angel's presence, the burning bush, and the things associated with that.